News Channel Internet Interview.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in for another installment of News Channel Internet Interviews. In this episode, we paint a portrait of Chad Bowron. We spoke with him back in November of 2012 as he was taking down his show, The Puzzling Pictures of the Primate, in La La Gallery, downtown Lafayette. After discussing some of his work, we walked around downtown, visited another gallery to pick up a lost cup of coffee, strolled to the Tippecanoe County Public Library to check out a magazine, and then settled in for dinner at the Black Sparrow. We hope you enjoy our meanderings through life, art, and the primate as much as we did. Enjoy.
Right, so yeah,
like the inside of
yeah,
it.
The CBGB and all that stuff happening. There is, not that that would happen here in Lafayette, but there is something happening, stirring here.
A renaissance is coming.
It's something, there's a feeling happening here.
My big thing
is... not happening...
In Indy,
or Terre Haute, or Columbus,
well, you know
or
why?
Wayne.
You know what, I give this area...
Lawrenceport, or Gary. You know, it's not happening. But there is something weird happening here. You can
because...
But I'm not sure what that is. And it could die off immediately.
It needs to... go beyond the wall.
Yeah, that's cool. These are weird little drawings she did. They're kind of creepy.
They are. There's a creepy element to it. But going back to the Lafayette thing, so the community, they're very segmented still. You know, everyone's kind of doing their own thing. And they've developed their walls, fortress themselves off. Now it'll be what...
People are...
What mixing
are,
of bands.
Closing themselves off here. Is that what you mean?
Well, it's still very cliquish.
Oh.
It's still very established order.
And there's a lot of loyalty of those.
It's very conservative.
I try and stay out of that. And
you can't. Everything's political.
Yeah, I'm not good at that stuff. And I end up turning off more so than joining the group.
I understand.
I don't like that. The click thing doesn't work well.
It's to the detriment of everything.
Yeah, it's a closed-mindedness, in a way.
I would say this reminds me of thinking about clicks. These more than any of the other ones.
Why would this remind you of clicks?
Just I don't know,
because
when I first
it's
saw
like a group.
Yeah, it's like a group of faces.
Yeah. At the time.
And or it could be people inside the circles.
Yeah.
And so those are their own... And you're like that gal on the corner taking pictures of the street.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Thanks.
What are you picturing?
I'm just documenting the intersection.
People, looks busy. Cars.
It has been
I would
throughout the day.
Are
you in art school?
You know, I'm not sure.
Is
she in art school?
Are you in art
school?
I go to Purdue.
So, no.
Okay, I didn't know how to answer that.
Oh,
that's art school. Would you not?
Why don't you consider Purdue an art school?
I didn't. I just... That's
what you just
said. Maybe she's not an art school.
Do you look at Purdue as an art school?
No. It's an engineering school, let's be real.
Are you an engineer?
But no, I'm in computer graphics technology.
Ah, so you made artistic expression.
But I'm minoring in art and design, so.
So is that art school stuff?
I mean, it's... See, I
it's
guess.
Like having a girlfriend. It's not necessarily your girlfriend,
girl
but
friend.
Yeah.
Documenting those.
It's the school that you're doing art in.
Hi.
All the subject matter is open for interpretation, right? Because it's really funny. It's really...
Enjoy the photo.
This painting was three dead people and one live person. That's all it was. And I didn't really like how those lips came out, but I didn't like the lips I had, so I just had red on that brush, and I was like, okay, get rid of that. And the point was to paint over that. But then at some point, you just have to walk away from it and stop. You know, not that that was a good point to walk away from that particular drawing, but what would have happened would be that white paint is like an addiction to me, and I keep trying to take it back down to the base, to the base flat.
Back to that white.
Back to the paper.
Yeah.
And it gets a little... I'm going to...
How do you balance that? I mean, you said, so you brought up a lot of interesting points in there. People struggle with walking away from pieces.
Yeah.
Adding, but in a way subtracting. Adding white paint to subtract.
Reasoning, right.
You know, where do you draw those lines? What's your... What's your process?
I think all the little pieces and all those little pieces and the marks that go in there, no matter if it's white or not, you can put little marks in there that fill that space as much as a full piece of color.
Right.
You know.
I like that you are a drawer. You know, you do drawings.
I'm
and they're
a drawer.
Not really paintings.
Sorry, what was the question?
But you called yourself
the drawing. So I do feel like I'm a drawer. I am drawing these pieces out.
Because the graphic, you know, the pencil on there is really that's where I feel like you make your mark in your emotion, where the rest of it's just sort of giving you a field of color or texture, and then you really go in with your marks with drawing.
And the colored pencil makes sublime pieces, planes of color, as opposed to just coloring that whole plain blue or whatever. Mm-hmm. I can't block it out like that. I can't figure it out.
They had the opening today at Artist Zone where I left the coffee. That's one thing I'm attracted to in terms of your larger canvases. Because I, you know, seeing other people work on things, canvases are usually a question. And so these are all big pieces.
Right.
And you've talked about going back to the movement. You know, you talked about doing certain things where if you had a smaller, you couldn't accomplish the same thing.
Right.
Actually. But now they are small on these. And so I guess my question is, how do you like them presented in such a small way? And then why do you like...
I don't think you'd be able to make those same marks if that paper was smaller. I mean, you might be able to, but it would be different.
Thank you.
Damn. Yeah. Come on.
You're like,
come on.
Come on, Spark. Come on.
You go to like Preston's or someplace.
We're not fucking sitting down right now. We're
gonna go. I've been standing all day. All day.
We're gonna sit down somewhere.
Drama?
Yes. But make it. It's just theater.
I didn't do that.
You want a coffee?
I'll see you.
Bye. Cheers.
See
ya. Are you sure?
Wildly similar looking animals.
You ever see that with your work? So this was a larger study. I mean, is your stuff usually in this vein, this visual vein?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's always the same. It's the same but different.
So how often do you see your own evolutionary repetitiveness, I guess.
Okay.
Thank you.
I think every single piece, it's the same.
Mm. I would say these are starkly different.
There's
similarities.
The structures that I'm working on are the same. So the core of the structure, the core of the framework I'm setting everything on is identical.
Right, but we're talking about the pigeons. All pigeons are based on pigeon DNA.
Right.
Yet they're different. I mean, you know, you were talking about that's what.
Right. So
getting with this, how often do you see that kind of repetitiveness? Obviously, they're all part of the same.
I see it always. So all these were hanging, so stapled to the walls in my house.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to work to try and move off the painting right before it. So I try not to think too hard. I try and open my mind up and be open to the thoughts that come in to make that next mark.
Well, and it's been interesting that, you know, when I put this show up, it's like, this was the, I don't know if I've told you this before, but it's the first time you brought your work in and I pretty much got it. I saw the imagery. I was understanding your mark making, and I thought that was interesting for me. Like, it's taken me this long to look at your work long enough to see that pattern and that it is all the same, and that's his energy in the mark making. And the subject matter may be different, or the attack of it, but actually, I was like, I finally think I can see how Chad is seeing. Because before, I mean, maybe a year ago, I would look at this and not see anything.
That's all right.
You know, or it would just be color and line and marks, and I think that's what maybe Zach is seeing. It's just he sees color and different shapes and marks.
Yes, please.
No, I'd explore, Jim.
Yeah, the painting exhibitions that really got me was a Francis Bacon show in Los Angeles, like in '88, and the guy is such a technical genius.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a mirror factor
for humans, if we're thinking of ourselves as primates, there's some kind of weird connection that once you start moving around in that drawing and you pick where you want to put the eye or the face, and for me, I don't need to leave the eye there, and I have to ask myself, I have to allow myself to wipe that eye out and not be overly impressed as how I drew that or where it was. Mm-hmm. I have to remove myself from the technical aspect. I can technically draw about anything, I think. Mm-hmm. But my mind is asking for the unknown. My mind is asking for stuff that I've never seen before, which is a new face, and, you know, so
right.
I can build a face, but it's much more interesting to me. You know, we've got the third eyes, and who knows how many eyes are coming out of our mind as we think, you know, if we look at it as windows or whatever. Mm-hmm.
So all our different individual perceptions.
It is. It's all perception. It is all our perspective. You know, I continually tell myself to mind my thoughts. Mind your thoughts. Mind your thoughts. When I'm doing the work, I don't mind my thoughts so often, like I should. When I'm in public, I'm sure Jeannie's like, God.
I'm more sense of a focus of like.
Yeah, she warned me before I came here. She was like, don't start talking about all that weird shit you talk about. Just be normal. It's like, okay. Because I can get really ground up in the art and get down into the ugly. And it almost turns negative. I don't mean it to be negative. But
like other artists negative?
No, just the
pain
the making of the work. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so you have all the, you just have the remnants of the shit you put up on your wall, but really it's all the thoughts that were driving through, the stream of consciousness, which I'm not even sure is a stream. And then you take all these definitions and you really have to ask yourself to undefine those definitions that have already been given to you.
You have to ask yourself, is modernism over?
Yeah, or just that picture on the front. I mean, you have to ask yourself, what is that doing, if anything? And a lot of times, including my own work, even though me as the primate love my own work, right? I don't love my own work, but I'm more attracted to what I'm doing, which
really?
Is weird. Oh. It's weird. Well, there are, you know, you go and see, like, Cezanne, or, you know, but there's those classic
okay.
people.
Unfortunately, I can't check out on that card.
That's okay. No, that's fine. Right.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hello.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
I can get it stitched over. It's
just, oh, okay. Yeah, that was it. Yeah, you can override.
Yeah, I did it.
I understand.
I'm waiting for
you. Oh, no worries. It doesn't do it automatically?
No, it doesn't. They have to be manually switched from a new to a general circulating item. And sometimes the magazines can be really hard because they're monthly. And they can just slip out of their little plastic cases or we don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, what I'm saying
silly
is
magazines.
That I have no knowledge of how.
No, I understand.
Yeah. I mean, unless it's because I use grocery bags and there was.
Yeah, I wish there was a better way in that system to do more filtering on new items.
It wasn't
yeah.
something that I
there's a lot of things that could be improved, and then every time you try to improve.
It's interesting. I mean, looking at. I like that blue painting right there. I love that. It looks very unplanned. You know, I just like the unplannedness and the non. Uniformity of every single mark, even though you have piles of ghosts. And then you get into content, and you're like, well, what the fuck? Why'd you have to put ghost eyeballs on there? They didn't have to be ghosts, and they didn't have to be rail cars. You know, it could just have been one incredible abstract piece.
Right.
But
I can't help but think of Pac-Man.
Yeah.
I mean, I know they're not the colors of them, but
there
very
is something
similar.
Very Pac-Man about it.
Walk, walk, where it's walk, very walk, skirty. Walk, 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 yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like I should have my glass of wine on a cocktail.
Yeah. I like it.
I like a lot of artwork. When I was in my 20s.
Are you attracted to that one because it's a primate?
I'm not necessarily attracted to it like a primate, but I am attracted to it.
Mm-hmm. Do you identify with it?
I do identify with it. I mean, it has a hand and a mouth and teeth. It's a baboon, it looks like.
Yeah, and it's like the world.
You think that's the UN? Like, if that was a political cartoon, that would be the UN?
It could be. It could be. I can't place a lot of that's where I'm always saying with Angela, I have nothing to say about the pieces. Mm-hmm. They don't mean anything politically. They don't mean... But it's only it's what you bring to it. It's not necessarily what I'm bringing. And once they're done, they're done. I have no feeling for it. I used to have feelings for them.
Mm-hmm. But we've already discussed this.
About the framing and stuff. Yeah, about taking care of
it. You don't want them to die.
No, I don't want to burn them.
I don't want to tear them up. And
because
you feel proud and good knowing that it's going to be hanging somewhere.
I do paint over some stuff, but not so much anymore.
Right.
And my big fear is that I won't have a body of work.
Because there's a portrait of Z painted
if I continue doing what I do.
Yeah.
That's why you have to stop and walk away and say, God, I need 10 pieces. You know?
Well, and I'm hearing what you said, too. It's like... I probably painted over 50 paintings, but I was painting like hundreds of paintings, and it wasn't until now I'm like, you know, the show that I had in January and the show I just had, there's not a painting in that series that I would paint over, because I'm like, I feel like my marks, they always say, well, you have this certain skill to do something, but then your brain's not quite caught up with your skill, or vice versa, or whatever, and then it's like, finally, what I see in my brain is happening on the surface, so it's a success that I'm not.
It's interesting, because what I'm trying not to do in my brain while I'm doing it is define my attachment to an image that I cannot create the way it's in my mind. And that used to really frustrate me.
Why? Explore that for a second. Because I personally share that same frustration. So I just go with it. I have to settle for how it translates.
I think you have to be open to the next thought and allowing yourself, like, you know, you were saying earlier that if something does not go to schedule the way it should, I mean, I've been a very aggressive person in my life.
Right.
And I've had to tone it down. And I think there has to be an openness to an open of perspective without being attached to preconceived notions of what kind of artist or what kind of painter you're going to be. So I used to, my initial stuff, I would have complete, real, almost like it was a waking dream. And I think that's what I'm painting in. You kind of go into a...
This stuff?
Yeah, you kind of go, you know, when I was real young in that canvas, I did large canvases young, but that thing would be soaked in paint thinner.
Do you have any left?
Oh, yeah, I have some left. Yeah.
You have pictures?
All of it was documented.
So we need your old demos?
Yeah.
Or music, and we need this old art.
I can do that.
Do you tell them?
Do you want another one?
Yes, please.
Yeah. Jessica, do another one?
No.
I'm walking.
You have like a bison burger.
Our what?
Don't you have a bison burger?
We had it on special a few weeks ago.
You just found that like roadkill bison.
Right.
Found it out in Otterburn.
Well, the other burger we have right now is a Kobe beef burger. That
bam!
Been looking
I'm all over
really
that.
Good. Yeah?
Yeah.
How do you want it?
It's kind of rareish.
Kind of rareish?
It's Kobe. Ooh, those poor cows. You know, they have to eat a lot of fat. Like that.
Do you want it rare?
Well, medium rare would be good, yeah.
Anyone else?
It's a lot of that fat, Mike.
Can I get a margarita?
Yeah, it's for the best. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't need to order right now, Angela. Sorry, I was just like kind of going away. Anne's like, damn, I'm eating all the food. Shit, I'm eating all the food.
What's going on?
What?
You don't have
to order right now.
Yeah. I'll probably get some. I'm starving.
Cool. I haven't eaten yet today.
I'm ready to eat.
And you weren't open. Yeah, we had open until 5.
I know.
We noticed that. We were going to call Paul. I like, but he would give me one of those creepy looks. Paul creeps me out. He gives me the willies.
I think I'm gonna get the BLT and E.
Okay.
And E, is that like the...
I'm not sure if I like the pesto mayo. Can I have on the side, just in case?
Oh, it's good. Do you want it with fries? Or side salad? Or you have like potato, bacon, and broccoli.
I think fries would be good.
Fries?
Does mine come with fries? So
good. Do you want more bread for
this? May I have a half order of bread to finish up the hummus?
Sure, yeah.
And then
she's gonna finish that up.
House salad.
You want ranch, blue cheese, or vinaigrette?
Vinaigrette.
Vinaigrettes?
Yes.
Can I get the... We shocked Zach with the order.
I see.
Yeah. Caught him totally off guard.
Well, I wasn't ready for that.
Wow, that is a wild food right there.
Yeah, it is.
Trying to remind me if it's like, it tastes like glue. Nope.
Can I get the
premium? Yeah, sure.
That'd be great. Unless there's a better specialty pizza. No. What? Oh, fig and salami. Although it sounds tempting.
Well, you're walking out. So what did you purchase in here?
I purchased some of Joanne Titolo's jewelry. Every Christmas I buy earrings for my two daughters, and they love them absolutely. And so it's become an expensive tradition.
So how many years have you been doing it?
I don't know. Probably 4, maybe.
Nice.
And birthdays and stuff. Yeah, they love her stuff. So, and I know Joanne, so it all works out well.
Do you do any art?
Yeah, I'm a painter. Yeah, I've got a studio down here.
He's from the cult.
The cult, the painter cult.
I've been one of the initial cults from West Side.
We were talking about it because Chaz
Manitai.
I moved down here in 2001.
Okay.
So I'm still a transplant. But we were discussing Chad being back in town. How is it different back in the day? How is it different to you?
Oh God, it's. I mean
just like a sentence
downtown.
Or two.
Downtown.
Downtown is like dreary.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for sharing. Anyway, downtown used to be kind of not particularly happening, and there wasn't a whole lot of art going on, and it's always been a struggle throughout the years, but it just keeps ratcheting up, and there's this excellent gallery, the La La Gallery, which is probably the premier gallery in town, and and everything else pales in comparison. But
final thoughts?
Keep making art, do it all the time. Everybody should buy it, use it, wear it, put it on their walls, and enjoy it.
Lick it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to go back to what you were saying a second ago.
What were we doing?
You were like, it's disappointing when it's done, and you're like, that's what I got. But I did notice in 3 of the pieces in that series, it was like on War Horse, you finished it at like, you know, June 10th, and then 10 days later on June 20th, you went back into it, and then you thought it was done, and then June 21st is supposedly when it was done, or did you put more marks on it and then just not date it again?
I am marking those now when I'm having a good day on it, when there is big movement on it, so I have those things all over the garage, and like, so I go over there and I grab this one, and I go ka-chunk, and I start working on that thing, and if I have a good day on it, then I'll mark it as a good day.
Oh, okay.
And I'm trying
to. So it's not really it was completed on that day.
No.
It was more like just marking like this.
Yeah,
is a
like
good
had
time.
A good day. I had a lot of movement. I moved through it. It was a good day. Because I started getting fucked up on dates. So I had this rule that I could not date the thing and sign the thing until I decided it was done. Well, then I would hang it on my wall and be like, fuck, how did I miss that?
Right.
And so then what I was doing was painting over dates, which is a lie, but I love that. And then I thought, okay, I'm just going to start dating them on the days I had good movement on them. And if I had 12 dates on there, I know it will look funny. And the reason they're painted that way is because they're on the ground. You know, they're on the floor.
Oh.
So I have to lean over and write it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So I just lean way over and I write, you know, 629 or whatever.
Okay, cool.
And that's why I was marking them like that. And it's kind of like a diary in a weird way.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, because you did it twice on this one. And
yeah,
then you
did
it once on...
And on this one, there's like 3 on that
War
Horse.
Yeah, you did 3 on War Horse. You did 2 on Letters to Friends. And then you did...
letters to friends. I mean, I have letters to friends here, which was kind of an interesting painting originally because it was a woman. And so the goal, the whole thing. Hold on.
When you took a picture of it before?
Yeah, I have pictures of it before. And then I have some paintings that I never bring to you because they're for book covers, you know? For friends of mine who are writers. And then, so I'm going to do this whole series of book covers for them. These are big drawings.
Yeah.
But, you know, these are drawings before. These are the underpainting, the underdrawings. So they're kind of detailed in there. Mm-hmm. And then these are some birds I did on chili peppers. You know how chili peppers lay there?
Non-chili peppers.
You know, big red chili peppers, and they're dried out, so when you lay them down, they're kind of curved. Uh-huh. So I just took clay, and the back end of those are chilies.
Oh, I see.
Because they look like birds to me, so I made them birds.
I think that's funny.
That's my dead cat.
Your cat's dead?
Yeah, I just had a cat die.
How?
Old age. She was like 20.
Blind?
Blind and deaf and screaming for about 5 years. Like every 10 minutes would be like through the house, and like people who would come to visit, they'd be like, "Are you killing your grandma down there?" I'd say yes, but that's my cat. I don't see it right offhand, but I was going to show you that damn woman.
In the letters to friends piece before.
So the letters to friends piece was this woman lying on her side. And I was digging in on that. And so I was slicing her. It was going to be a half a woman. And that was the title of it. It was called Half a Woman. And I was going to cut a big chunk off her.
That's crazy, that arm.
Yeah, so I brought her. Her right arm comes down behind those marks, and then that's her hand down there. So it would come like there would be a fog. It's my dog. And then I cut a chunk on her. That's the chunk.
Okay, so this is like her breast, right?
Yeah, which turned into really the eye of that cow.
That's
and
really
of
cool.
course, women, cows.
Come on, Ann.
I know. So then it went, then it started moving that way. And then I put some crafts. And then you have the whimsical. And some people do the whimsical. That's just not my thing. I went harder.
And then you put that white on it.
And then I just start, I needed to.
Go back to that one.
And then.
No, not that one.
So you can see the cow had a tongue on it. And then I was going to have, like animal parts. So I left the hoof, which was her arm.
That's great.
And that's how I allow it to move forward. So I'm thinking to myself, okay, that woman's good. I got her. She's laying correctly in, you know, she's laying down. She's not floating around on that thing.
Right.
And then you have to ask yourself, are you willing to let that go? Let it go.
Yeah.
You spent 30 hours on it, let it go. It's a cow's head.
How do you convince yourself?
It's just a moment. It's just a moment of just decision. Like, do it. Go. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like picking a color.
It was crazy because people saw a dog. They saw, like, a tornado. There was very few people that came in and saw that as a severed head.
And it does kind of turn into a dog's head. I mean, this is my dog, and this is... So this is my dog that's here. This is my dog's head on this platter. This is my dog. But that's Cappity, and then I severed its head and put it on a platter. She sits on my shoulder like a parrot. She sits up on a, it's like a parrot, a large
parrot
giant,
dog.
A giant rat terrier.
Extra bread, I love that shit.
And there's my dog who sits in that chair. Yeah, she sits there like that. Isn't that weird?
If I get the dates, if I get something.
But I think there has to be a willingness to let go of what you think you know.
So how do you convince yourself to let go?
You are.
Because that is a big thing people get hung up on.
Well, attachment. Attachment, right? So attachment in anything. So you got to, you know, attachment to your car, to the way you think your schedule's supposed to go.
Preciousness
is really disturbing, but that's just another attachment.
Uh-huh.
So really we're just breaking it down to attachments. You know, like your new house. If you lost your new house, you got to deal with those feelings, you know. And how I'm attached. How attached am I to the shit that I lost, you know? You think of the Sandy people, and you see people just collapse because they lost everything, which I agree, I'm with them. And it would be sad. It's a real feeling. I think we have to break down emotions from attachment and thoughts and what our thoughts are doing to our feelings and emotions. If we can break off thought from emotion, you can decide to change that thing right then. You can go, fuck that. That's, I want a cow's head on there. And I just thought a cow's head was so much more. And then my favorite piece, my favorite part to this whole piece was this scratchy middle part, which turned into kind of like this moment of really ruining it, but I let myself go in that. So, you know, I don't know how many marks it takes to make that big black mark, but it took a good 4 minutes maybe of just like, rolling your eyes. Yeah, this is big chunks of graphite that I don't have to sharpen, and I can just kind of close my eyes. You know, remember Jackson Pollock and the automatic drawing, which is coming out of our mind, which is from the deepest core of creating shapes.
Right.
So you figure you can create all these shapes, but somewhere as an artist, you really have to kind of, for me, I have to put an eyeball on it. I have to go, okay, I have to make it something. Then you have to ask yourself, like Tom always says, he's like, quit putting people in your shit. He said, why don't you just make that a beautiful abstract painting like without reference to eyeballs, faces, anything?
You brought that up in particular about this.
You said
you like this because it was supposedly not made with any structure. Then they went and put eyes on it.
And that kind of, that does bug me. I mean, but it's kind of whimsical at that point. But I'm not sure if whimsy is part of... Whimsy does, you know, you have arts and crafts, and then you have the whimsical, and some people do the whimsical, that's just not my thing. I want harder.